أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, السلام عليكم everybody. We're trying again. We're going to have our dear guest today, and yes, alhamdulillah, we have success after a bit of technical difficulties, and yeah, so we've got to use our, unfortunately, use our phones only for Instagram lives. I should have let you know that.
Okay. Yeah,
so laptops and other devices don't really work. So alhamdulillah, I'll just do a fresh welcome, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody, all of our viewers. Welcome to the Deep Discussions podcast. I'm your host, Kalisha Bennett, here today with an IG live episode where we have a very beloved and dear guest joining us and giving us, generously giving us time and life experiences and wisdom, inshallah, for the benefit of our viewers. The Deep Discussions podcast is powered by Developing Diamonds, and what we aim to do is encourage people to unplug and reconnect. So unplug from shallow conversations, from distractions, from non-beneficial conversations and knowledge, and reconnect with our loved ones, reconnect with community, with elders, mentors, with the youth, and with ourselves, and ultimately all of that tying us back to reconnecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is your first time joining us, be sure to check out some of our previous episodes. You can find them on all podcast platforms, and they're not to be missed. So we alternate between an interview like this, where I interview someone from the general community. I do it on IG Live, and we alternate that with Revert Reflections episodes, where our other host, Sister Rosalind de Bono, interviews different reverts from the community and shares their stories, experiences, and wisdoms, again, with so much to benefit from. So I've personally benefited from watching all of the different episodes that we've had and listening into the different episodes. And there's something beautiful about hearing different people's life experiences and struggles and challenges, hopes and aspirations and achievements, all the different elements that put together, you know, the life of a human being, which isn't always linear. You know, we know that life can, you know, have many ups and downs. And when we are able to gain from experiences and wisdoms of others, it can help to save us from many pitfalls, as well as power us forward to really living our very best lives, inshallah, as Muslims. So our guest today is the lovely Sister Rashika Matthews, and In you know, bullet points we had on our flyer for this episode, she's a madrasa teacher, she's a creator of Arabic flashcards, and she's the author of How to Save Your Marriage in 30 Days. And we're going to hear more about those things as we go along. So Rashika's background is South African, and she's going to tell you more details about her story. She's had a few interesting things happen throughout her life, which I'm sure she's selected some, you know, important few that she feels comfortable to share. She's, come to Australia from South Africa in her youth. She's had, a traumatic accident happen in her life. She's studied, she's worked in various roles and positions, and dedicated a lot of her life and her time to Islamic studies, studying the Sharia, studying the Quran Tajweed, becoming a scripture teacher, becoming a madrasa teacher in primary and high school as well. So she's really had a very interesting journey. She's got a bunch of children, which I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit about, the family dynamic. And I think there are a lot of wisdoms for us to gain from that as well. And she's designed and created cards. She's written a book, a self-help book for couples. So many beautiful things. A little bit of a quirky side fact is she loves scuba diving. She's a certified scuba diver. And recently she just got a motorbike, and she's trying to encourage me to get one as well. So I'm not too sure about that, but we'll see. All in all, mashallah, she really has inspired me in many ways just through knowing her and hearing her story. And in my life, you know, I've only known her for a few years. And you know, we don't get to see each other that often, but subhanAllah, just knowing her has really helped me personally in a lot of the different struggles and areas of growth that I've wanted to meet face on in life and to grow from there. So, Alhamdulillah, we're going to get straight into it, Rashika, and you get to, I guess I'm asking the questions, but you really get to lead where it goes. So you've got that autonomy, Alhamdulillah. So tell me a little bit, I guess, about yourself, or just who is Rashika Matthews?
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thank you so much, Kalisha. I really appreciate
No
it. Where do I start? The thing is, okay. I know we've only known each other for a very short period of time, but subhanAllah, it has been a true blessing. I think I'll speak about three points in three things, three major events in that happened in my life that actually was a turning point for me as well. The first thing I want to talk about is the car accident that we were in South Africa in 1984. We were traveling back from Port Elizabeth with the whole family in the car. It was a really bad accident where myself and my brother were injured the most because we were actually in the back of a canopy and we were thrown out of the car as the car rolled down the hill. So my brother actually lost his spleen. He had internal injuries and a concussion. I was in a coma for 6 days and I had major side injuries and a swollen brain and leg injuries and a broken arm. So I was in hospital for quite a while. I was in a coma for 6 days. My mom had a few fractured ribs. We were transported from Middelburg Hospital to Port Elizabeth Hospital. I guess it was traumatizing for them because they had actually witnessed it. I was in a coma, so I had no idea about what was going on. I woke up and saw everybody around me, and they told me what had happened. So everything that I know of the accident was what they've actually told me because I was asleep when it happened. Yes, I was in hospital for about 3 months, missed a whole term of year nine, got back to school on crutches, with a broken leg cast on until the end of August. I was on crutches. So it was a very traumatizing year for me because considering that I was a soccer player for the school and represented netball for the school and softball, I was very athletic. My whole life turned around where I couldn't play sport anymore, but that didn't stop me from becoming the person who I did. I decided to do other things at school, like debating societies, SRCs, and other things that could occupy my time. Yeah, I got through high school, passed all my years, studied hard, and that was a great lesson that I learned as well as a. It gave me hope, I guess, that we could have died. We could have all died in that car accident, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us another chance. And just because something bad like that happened doesn't mean it's the end. It also brought on epilepsy, so I had epilepsy throughout my youth years as well. I only sort of got over that at the age of 40. Decided to wean myself off the medication, and yeah, alhamdulillah. But
I had
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
epilepsy.
gives us these things for different reasons, makes us stronger, makes us who we are today. And I think if that didn't happen, where would I be? So, yeah, alhamdulillah, that was one of them. You asked me to speak about three.
Yeah, if you want to say three big
Um, the
milestones.
second one, the second one that I can think of that was a major turning point in my life was us migrating to Australia at the age of 18. Being a teenager, finishing school, starting a new career, I decided to go into legal secretarial work. Everything was going great, and then my dad decided we're going to pack up and we're leaving to Australia. Not just to another state, but overseas to a different country altogether. That was hard for me because I needed to make new friends. I cried for a while. I said, I want to go back home. It took me a while, and then I realized Dad's not going to send me back home. I've got to make the most of what I've got to do. I need to find a job, do a career, and do something else. Fortunately, I had close cousins and friends that I met who I still am friends with up till now. They took us to the local mosque. We became youth members. My friends, up till today, we still, we ran fashion shows, heaps of different things in that youth, and that's what kept me going as well. Being in the youth movement of Campbelltown, Minto Mosque, as I should call it, but that's what kept me going. And yeah, that was another turning point. And then the third one that I want to talk about is, well, as you know, I got married. The marriage didn't work out. I had two kids, and then remarrying after 7 years, my youngest was 7, and Naeem was 9. Masood was 7, and Naeem was 9. Remarrying somebody who had only been a Muslim for 3 months, Aussie revert. I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I made istikhara, and I thought, I've got two sons. It doesn't, I don't, I asked all the necessary questions that I needed to ask. Then it just depended on whether, how he was going to interact with my kids. Everything was about them. And alhamdulillah, 16 years later, I've got to say my oldest son is more like him than his own dad. Yeah, but alhamdulillah, it was good. It all worked out well. And I think if it wasn't for him, there's half the things I do today, I wouldn't have done if it wasn't because of him. Like riding the motorbike, he's been pushing me for 16 years, and I kept on saying no. Eventually, I had to cave in. And yeah, last year I got my license. So it's not a Harley, it's not a Kawasaki or anything, it's just a little scooter. Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so you had, it's three big milestones in your life, the accident, which is a near-death experience, and the reality of life that flashes before your eyes, right? No doubt, did that really impact you in terms of taking life very seriously and realizing how close to death you and your family came?
Yeah, it did. It did. It made me realize that I could have died. We all could have died. And then just hearing all the stories about, like when I went back to South Africa in 2018, my auntie, they were actually traveling behind us. I went to told me what had happened as they were driving behind us. So they actually witnessed the whole accident.
Wow. So the car roll.
They saw another car hit us from behind and the car rolling down the hill. And then she was like in panic mode. The whole fate was her and her husband and four kids in the car that were traveling behind us, like we're traveling together. And as the car went rolling down the hill, my brother and I, we went flying out of the window of the car. And she was explaining to me what had happened, that they all stopped and ran to come and see whether we're okay. And they said, we can't find Yusha, we can't find Yusha, we can't find Ashika. Ashika was my name at the time. And they were all looking everywhere for us. My brother had a big rock on him, and my auntie was explaining that she didn't know where she got the strength from to pick this rock off him, but she picked it up, and they called the ambulance, and they found me. My body was covered in blood and everything, but subhanAllah, it was just hearing their stories, I think, makes you realize how blessed we were, to be alive. Because I remember my dad even said that the lawyers said that he could press charges against the other person. And my dad said, you know what? I'm just happy that they're alive.
Wow. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. So, yeah, it was a turning point in my life.
So it was a reckless driver at the time. So they were responsible for the error that really could have cost all of you your lives.
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Even that's part of the fragility of the human body. You know, your body thrown like a rag doll out of the car in that moment. You know, and the damage that potentially could have been done. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved you. And even being a young girl too, for that to happen to your body, that's a big deal, you know, to be, you know, to not have the same options or the same plan. You had to change
I
plans
look
and
at
intention as a young person, and then moving your next big milestone at that in the teenage years too. Moving is a whole nother turn of plan, like a change of pathway of, okay, now I have to adapt again. I have to build resilience. And then, you know, having a marriage that didn't work out, again, the plan changing. Now you had these beautiful two boys, and it's now what, you know, what now, what do I do? How do I adapt and adjust? And there's just so much resilience in your life, subhanAllah.
And there was never a regret with that marriage, because I look at that marriage and I think, subhanAllah, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have Naeem and Masoud. So alhamdulillah, I was blessed with two beautiful boys. And the fact that they are grown men now and doing really well, I'm proud of them. And if I didn't do what I did back then, that I don't think they would be where they are now. You know, they're strong men. And sometimes we do things for the sake of our kids, or we do things for the sake of ourselves, for our own happiness. And we just make dua and yakin in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everything will be okay. And I think that was a very strong thing that I did, walking out of that, but it was something that I needed to do. And if I didn't do what I did back then, I wouldn't have what I have now.
So what were you, obviously you sharing that you walked out, like you left a marriage. What was that experience like for you in terms of coming to the decision and then being brave enough to actually step forward in that decision and deal with the unknown ahead of having these two boys on your own?
I wouldn't have been able to do it if I didn't have the support of my family. I made that decision that I need to do it for myself. I'm not going to wait until 20 years later. I can't do that to myself. I can't do that to my kids. They need to see that I'm happy. And that's what I did. I made istikhara. I made so much dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the strength and the courage to do what I did. And I did. I did. I was still pregnant when I left. So it wasn't an easy thing that I did, but it was something that gave me courage, that made me stronger, that made me who I am today. And just even writing the book, after all the years of being away, being divorced, and going through all of these things, I was able to help so many other ladies who were going through similar problems that I had, and I was able to help them. And I thought to myself, you know, if I can help one or two or three, why not help more people all around the world if I can? And that's what led me to writing the books.
Yeah, mashallah. So you mentioned about, you know, you choosing your happiness, and you were pregnant and you had one child as well at the time. So you know, you were about to become a mother for the second time. What that is a challenging time to choose to step out of a marriage while you're pregnant, and for you to what you mentioned, to choose your happiness. What does that mean? What is that internal conversation with yourself of being able to acknowledge, I'm not happy and I'm going to do something about it? Because we probably have a lot of listeners who might say within themselves, yeah, I'm not happy, but how unhappy does someone need to be for them to make such a drastic change in their lives? How does a person gauge that happiness level and give their unhappiness the validity, and take the action that gives justice to that level of unhappiness?
It wasn't just me that I was thinking about. It was Naeem, who was two at the time, three at the time, and my baby that I was carrying inside of me as well. I could feel that me feeling the way that I was, and the constant arguments that was happening, it was affecting Naeem. It affected him a lot, and I didn't want it to affect the baby inside of me. I didn't know what I was having, whether it was going to be a boy or a girl, but I didn't want him or her to be with parents who fought all the time. You know what I mean? I wanted them to be with parents who were happy, who loved one another, who were happy when they were with them. So I sacrificed that, and I thought I'd rather them be with me and see that I'm happy, be with their dad and the dad will be happy, but I can't have see them being with us and just fighting constantly. That constant battle that we had all the time, I needed to make that choice and that decision there and then and think this is not right. This is not how I want to raise my kids. And yeah, it wasn't hard. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't easy at the beginning, but alhamdulillah, I got through it. I focused on my health and my children. When Masood was a baby, I took them overseas, went for a nice holiday, and yeah, alhamdulillah, it was all right. It was good. It was a good experience. It was part of what made me who I am today as well.
Did you find there was any resistance from people around you saying, "Are you crazy? You're pregnant. Okay, you're fighting, you're arguing, it's not that bad. Like, he's a good man. Like, you can." Did you have people trying to minimize how you felt and try to reconvince you?
I did have some people say that he was a good person. Why didn't you stick it out? Only I and my husband would know, or my ex-husband would know what battles we fought. Only we would know what went on inside the house. Nobody else knew. And for anybody to say, "Oh, he's a nice person," or "She's a nice person," they don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Only you and Allah knows. And Allah gave me that strength to do what I did. At that stage in my life, I was still very young, but I wasn't going to let it affect the rest of my life and wait until I've got 5 more kids before I realize that this is not right. I made the decision then, and subhanAllah, here I
Yeah.
4 more kids.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, tell us about your family, your blended family, Rashika. I would love to know about that.
Blended family we are indeed. My husband, when I met my husband, he told me that he had twins. And I thought to myself, well, he's got kids, I've got kids, this might work. This might work. And subhanAllah, I made dua and I said, I will marry him on the basis of how he is with Naeem and Masood. I will first get their approval. I will see how he is with them first before I make any final decision. And subhanAllah, he was awesome. They loved him. I even asked them, okay, he wants to marry me. What do you guys think? And they both said, "Mom, we love him." So having that blessing from them, that they're okay with it, subhanAllah, it was good. It was good. And that's how it worked. Everything was about them at that time. Everything, the courage was them. He was just like another kid with them. He'd done handstands with them. They were doing handstands and they just loved him to bits. So subhanAllah, everything. Alhamdulillah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That was a big tick box there.
Yeah.
So you had your two boys, he had two twin boys, was it two twin boys? Yeah, and then
Yes,
you and
but
he had more kids together.
yeah, he had twins, but at the time, his ex actually didn't want him to see the kids. So he wasn't allowed to see the boys from the age of 2. And then at the age when they were 12 years or 11 years old, my husband got a call from Docs saying that they had custody of the boys in their care, and only the one twin wants to see his dad. The other twin doesn't. So we went through a long battle with docs and the children's courthouse and everything, fighting for custody, getting to know Jason at the time. He was only 11 years old, this skinny little kid that was underweight for his age, didn't know how to write, didn't know how to run, couldn't ride a bike, couldn't swim, couldn't, he was just it was just really, really, really sad to see what this kid had gone through. He had eczema from his head to his toes. So it was a really traumatizing time for him, but he was the one out of the two out of the twins that made the decision to get to
He's
know
dead.
his dad. He's been diagnosed with mild autism as well, so it hasn't been an easy journey for any of us, because I've never had a kid with mild autism as well. I had no idea what autism was. I had to do a lot of research and how to deal with it as well. SubhanAllah, but we did. We got it took us a while. I remember the first time he said to me, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Bible. So I said, that's fine, that's fine. You have your views. I don't mind, but I just want to give you a book about what Islam is. We're not terrorists, we're not horrible people. I'll give you a copy of the Quran, you can read it in your own time. And just before you eat, say in the name of God. When you're done eating, say thank God for the food. And his dad spoke a lot to him as well about it, but it took him a while, and then eventually he said to Isa, I want to be a Muslim. So he did. He said, we took him to the mosque and he said his Shahada at CYC, and he was so excited. He started madrasa as well. Yes, SubhanAllah, so he's doing really well. He's doing really well now. Alhamdulillah. We got full custody of him. And just recently the other twin has contacted his dad. So we're seeing the other twin now as well. So you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives you what you can handle. The time when Jason came to us, I was actually pregnant and I had a miscarriage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that I wouldn't be able to handle a 12-year-old kid and a newborn baby. So I had a miscarriage. But Alhamdulillah, all the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't an easy journey for him getting to know the family as well, and for us getting to know him. But
And
he's
even
coming.
helping him to catch up and thrive, because clearly he was underdeveloped. He hadn't been given the environment, the nurture that a child needs in order to thrive. You're saying he was 12 years old or 11 years old and being so thin and frail and not being able to use his body well. And so there's a big job there, SubhanAllah. And that's
No
part of,
problem.
you're in a blended, it was a blended family now, taking on your the responsibility and the commitment to your husband and his offspring the way he had done with yours, and then you both had your own kids together. So how many in total now are you mother and stepmother to?
I've got three more, so altogether we're seven, and seven kids, yeah. But at home I've got four. I've got a Masoud is overseas in Yemen with my husband. I've got another three. So Isa is 16, Aisha is 13, and Yasmin is going to be 10. And Jamil is now 19. So he's actually finished his school. Alhamdulillah. I'm just so happy that he's completed his HSC. He's doing TAFE now and doing a Sharia course as well. So Alhamdulillah, all of them are doing really well.
Alhamdulillah, big, beautiful family. So, what's an important wisdom that you would want to share with our audience, Rashika?
Look after yourself. You're looking after your kids, you're looking after your husband, you're looking after your home. But the most important thing that you need to look at is looking after your own health, your own mental health as well. Even if it's just 10 minutes of meditation a day, or going for a run, or going to the gym, or whatever it is that you need to do for yourself, you need to find that time for yourself as well. And eating healthy. Eating healthy is so important as well.
Thank you.
if you feel like you're picking up weight, another tip that I can give you, don't go and buy bigger size clothing. Get back
Yeah.
into that same size that you were before.
I love that tip. I love that tip. So if you're gaining weight, don't buy bigger clothing and then allow for that weight to stay. You keep your tight, uncomfortable clothes so that you can shrink back and it don't fit. It's
That's
a
right,
good
that's
tip.
right. I've got it. That's right. Don't, that's just the way that I've always been. I've had this jeans that I had. I remember my sister got it when I was before I had kids. And every time I look at this jeans, I think, should I just chuck it out? I think, no, I need to keep it. You know why? So that I can always fit into it and always remind me of what I was
Yeah,
like.
subhanAllah. Yeah,
Alhamdulillah.
alhamdulillah. So, Rashika,
Alhamdulillah.
tell us about your cards that you've created. Have you got a set of cards nearby, or you want to tell us
Yes.
about your cards?
Yeah. Okay. I was a madrasa teacher. I'll just read. I was a madrasa teacher for about 5 years teaching kindergarten, and the syllabus that they had at the time was teaching them using the Arabic words, Arabic letters using Arabic words like Alif is for Asad, Ba is for Bab, Ta is for, and so on. And I was getting frustrated because the kids were not learning these letters. So I came up with the idea. Hang on, I'll just get.
Okay. So if anyone has any questions or issues, feel free to write them in the comments. We can actually
Yeah.
answer them as well.
So I came up with this idea that each letter looks like each letter is a story. So if you have Alif looks like a stick with a leaf on it, right?
Alif. Oh, yeah. A
Alif.
leaf,
Alif.
it looks like a leaf.
Yeah. What grows on a stick? A leaf,
Yeah.
right? And then you've got the letter Ba. So Ba looks like
A
a
goat.
boat. And boat and Ba both start with the same sound.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ta, and there's two dots in Ta. So Ta and two both start with the same sound. And at the back of each the front at the back, you've got the what the letter looks like at the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Excellent. Wow. Amazing concept.
So Tha and three. There's three fishing rods and three dots. So Tha and three both start with the same sound. Jim looks like a
Jug.
jug. So
Yeah.
jug is Jim,
I
yeah.
love them.
Ha. There's nothing in the Arabic in the English alphabets that starts with ha, but everybody knows haj. So I use haj. Ha. If you've got something stuck in your throat, what do you do? You go.
You try to clear it. Yeah.
So that's where
I love
ha
that.
comes from. Ha comes from here, right? So each letter is just a story. So dal, when you go to the dentist, what do you do?
Yeah.
You dal and
That
dentist, right?
is genius.
And dal, the dentist, dal and the start with the same sound. Ra, what sound does a lion make?
Yeah.
Ra.
Oh.
When you're teaching these kids the letters, it's just so much fun because you have them running around the class carrying on like lions and roaring like lions.
Yeah,
And
that's cool.
za, what sound does a bee make? So the bees are buzzing on the lion's head.
So you have the letters that are related, and then the image also and the story relates them as well.
Yeah.
That's a
So
very good idea.
each letter has a story. So a scene, at the bottom of the binoculars looks like a scene, right? And when you're looking through the binoculars, what's the question that you ask somebody? What have
Yeah, what
you
have you seen?
seen? So the other three kids are sharing the binoculars. So sharing and sheen. Sad, there's nothing in the English letter in the English alphabet that starts with sad. So I've used safira. Safira is whistle for sad. And dafta is frog in Arabic. Tabib is doctor. There's nothing in the English alphabet that starts with da. You can say that the chop needs to thaw, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And then shadow. Ain is, I use the name Ali.
Ali, yep.
And Ghain, when you're gardening, this is a funny letter to teach. So the middle, the beginning, middle, and end. When you're teaching this letter, I remember I used to take salt water and small little cups in a big bucket. So you get the kids to put the water
Sample.
in the back of the throat and go, oh, this looks funny. So they're gargling their throat, and that's where rain comes from, the
So
letter rain.
teaching very small children, especially when they're first learning their letters, this makes it stick, right? Because they're relating it to something, and that's like a modern day, like they teach it as a memory hack to connect. For example, if you meet someone for the first time, you connect their name and think about what their name reminds you of, and that's what helps you remember their name next time. And likewise with the letters.
That's right. And so when you have the letters on a page, all the letters on a page, and they forget this letter, and then you tell them the story. Okay, if they forget what phi is, you say to them, okay, how far the sun is, it close or is it far? Then they remember the system. Or they forgot the letter ra, then you say, okay, what sound does the lion make? And then they'll remember the letter ra. So you're not telling them the letter, but you're asking them the question related to the story, and that's how they remember it. Cough, what sound does a kookaburra make? Cough, 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 cough. Calf is a baby.
Baby
Cow.
cow here. Cow.
Lamb looks like a
Leg.
leg. And leg and lamb both start the same sound. Meme looks like a microphone. And
Microphone.
microphone and meme both start with the same sound. So you can initially first teach them this one, this side, or you can teach them the back as well at the same time. When you're looking at a clock, both hands are pointing up. So it is
Noon,
noon.
noon. And
When you're laughing, you go ha ha ha.
laughing.
And when something is amazing, you say wow.
Wow.
And yacht and ya both start with the same sound. Yeah,
Amazing.
ya looks like a
That's
yacht.
amazing. I actually, it's bizarre. A lot of those analogies I used when I taught my kids because I found that it was really hard to stick without connecting it to something because it's a lot of letters for a small child to learn and in a small, short span of time. I used a lot of those similar examples like the ra and the za. Quite a few of those I had as well, subhanAllah. So
They
yeah,
pick it up quickly.
it's a very important. If anyone wants these cards, feel free to reach out to myself or Rashika, and we'll link you up to get a set or for your school or community center. Just an excellent learning resource, and it will drastically shorten the learning time of the Arabic alphabet as well. Rashika, you've also got a book.
Sorry, just talking about the Arabic cards. A lot of the Arabic schools are already using them here, but I've still got heaps more to sell. So if you do need them, just message me and I can send them out to you, inshallah.
Beautiful. Jazakallah khair. So, Rashika, tell us about your book. A controversial title, too. I love the title. It really makes you question it. How to Save Your Marriage in 30 Days, using the Quran and Sunnah. And it's an activity book, right? It's a workbook for a couple to use if they are, is it for if they're on their last legs of their marriage or like what, when should they use this book?
They can use it to rekindle their relationship as well, or if they are thinking of divorce and they don't want to see, they're too scared to go and see a sheikh or a marriage counselor, or they have been already and nothing's helping, they can use this. It's a 30-day plan. So what I did was, amongst everything that I'm doing in my life, my husband and the kids and everything that was going on in my life, I thought, we were just sitting one day and I said to my husband, you know what? I'm going to write a book. And I'll come up with 30 days. It's a 30-day plan. So for each of the 30 days, it's something that you and the couple can do together. And at the bottom of each page, they can actually write down how that actually went, if it was successful or what happened throughout that day. And they can do it for 30 days. And then if after the 30 days they feel that, because we still are not suited for one another, we're still having the same battle or the same issue that we had before, then you can say, okay, we can call it quits. But I've heard over the years, I've had so many cases where couples getting divorced or, newly married, they have this massive, massive wedding and they have a small fight and they've called it quits. It's not right, subhanAllah. There's just too
Giving up
many
too
people that get
easily.
involved over the littlest things.
Giving up
I
too
understand.
easily.
I understand if it's major and they have tried and they have tried and they have tried, but seriously, they can give it a go. It's only 30 days. 30 days is like a month. Try this in
How much is the book, Rashika?
$8. So I'm selling it for $8, and I can post it
Eight.
anywhere.
Eight
Eight.
dollars.
$8.
That's crazy. $8.
That's
SubhanAllah.
$8. $8 for
Bargain.
30 days of help. Each
That's
day
a
has
fun.
something. Okay, I'll read out. Can I read out one day?
Yeah,
I'll read out.
just read the short one, Charlotte, because we're a little bit short of time.
Okay. I'll just do the short one. Focusing on strengthening your belief in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read one verse of the Quran together, including the meaning, or read one authentic hadith from Riyadus Salihin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever follows the path in the pursuit of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path to paradise easy for him." So that's just basically picking up the Quran or picking up any hadith book. You've got it on your phone. Read one hadith together, maybe after Maghrib or before bed or whenever when you both have a time together. Just sit down and read one ayah and contemplate about that together. And these things you can implement for the rest of the 30 days of whatever you want to do.
Amazing. So I would say that the book, even if it's not someone who, wants to save their marriage in 30 days, but even existing married couples who want to revive or rekindle their marriage, how
That's right.
amazing to just reconnect each day on a little part of life, a little aspect of life and your life
Yeah.
together and your journey together, and really
That's right.
just change the dynamic that you have with your spouse and deepen that connection that you have with your spouse.
Yeah.
Rashika, what would you say in terms of when it comes to marriages? Our podcast is called Deep Discussions Podcast. How do you feel about the general standard of marriages nowadays? Is there enough depth? Do we have deep connections and deep intimacy and deep love with our spouses? Or are we staying too much at the surface level and squabbling over the little things? What do you think?
I think couples need to talk. They need to communicate a lot with each other about things that's bothering them and not just assume that, yes, my husband is going to know about it or yes, my husband will understand. They need to be able to have these discussions about the kids, about life, about everything. Talk about it. Put away your phone, turn the TV off, turn the internet off at dinner time. Don't let anybody sit there with their phones. Use that time to talk about things that happen throughout your day. If you don't want to talk about it, talk about what happened to the kids. Or there's so many things you can use. Your discussion cards, they're awesome. If you don't know about things, the topics that you can talk about, use them. In the car as well. Everybody wants to sit on their phones all the time. Put the phones away in the car.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Play a game. Do
Oh.
something. Talk about something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's what gets lost nowadays, having those conversations. And I encourage everyone to take Rashika's advice seriously because she's got a very interesting and heavy family dynamic, So imagine, Rashika, if you didn't have these conversations, how do you keep things going? How do you keep the family thriving if there isn't that communication of how do we address this issue? How do we help this child? How do we spend
Yeah.
time as a couple? How are we going to get through these different stresses and pressures and
Yeah.
challenges that are facing couples? And the challenges aren't reducing, they're increasing over time, especially in the modern age now. And obviously
Yeah.
the digital aspects are creating massive disconnect within marriages. Rashika, just a quick answer. If you could tell women, our Muslim sisters, one important message, what would it be?
Make time for yourself and your husband together. If you have a husband, if you are married, that special time that you have for you and your husband should be a time where only you two are doing things. Like mine and my husband thing is going scuba diving. We love it. And just doing that at least once a year or whenever we get an opportunity to, it's just amazing. Scuba diving, if you enjoy swimming and you want to see the different world under the ocean, subhanAllah, it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I really, really encourage you guys to do it. Yes, whatever it is, whatever tickles your fancy, whether I don't know what it is, but find that time to set aside for you and your husband to do things together without the kids.
Have
Right.
experiences together, yeah, do amazing things and prioritize that time. I love the fact that you mentioned earlier about even the getting the motorbike, it was your husband pushing you to do these challenging, adventurous things. And without that
Things.
support, husbands and wives, supporting and encouraging each other to have to embrace the adventure of life instead of playing it safe and sticking to our mundane day-to-day, our day-to-day rote and, mechanical routines. We have to break away from that and say, we need to do something interesting. We need to learn something interesting. Let's go somewhere beautiful and, actually enjoy this beautiful life and the blessing of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to
That's
all of
right.
us.
That's
I'm
right.
going
And
to ask you.
camping as well. Love camping.
Camping, yeah, very good. Camping is very good, actually. As somewhere where there's no reception too, so the phones get put away as well. That's always a good idea. I'm going to ask you a question from the Deep Discussions card set. So anyone who's seeing this for the first time, the card set comes in a bag. This bag is not just for packaging. This is a device bag. So it's for you to put the devices in the bag and then to enjoy the discussion cards, which help to facilitate conversation for you, your family, friends, spouses, workplaces, whatever it is, teams that you're in. Put the devices in the bag and seal the bag, put the devices away, and actually have a conversation using the cards and ask each other some deeper and more important questions. So here's my question I'm picking out for you, Rashika. The greatest blessing in life is what? What is the greatest blessing in life to you?
The greatest blessing in life is waking up in the morning. Waking up in the morning for another day, forgetting what happened yesterday and the day before. And today is a new day. Yesterday is gone and forgotten. Yesterday will never return. But today is a new day. So every day I tell my kids, today's a new day. Let's not have a replay of what happened yesterday.
Every parent, I think every parent's wishing for that.
Let's press delete on that remote control and pray for a better day today, inshallah.
So that ability to reset, like today's a fresh chance, a fresh opportunity, a new outlook, a new positive attitude, hopeful, intentional, optimistic. Very, very important for us to realize that. What's the dua when we wake up, The dua when we wake, Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Praise to Allah who gave us life after He made us die, because death, because sleep is a form of death, and unto Him is the return. SubhanAllah, we're supposed to wake with that. That in itself is a moment of, internalization and like, okay, it's a new day. Allah gave me life. I'm still here, and how am I going to maximize it? Rishika, how can our audience reach or contact you if they want to know about the cards, if they want to get the book, or even if they want some mentoring or advice from you even, how can they contact you?
They can just message me on my phone number, which is 041 65.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they can just message me on Facebook or Instagram, and I can just post it out. It's $8 for the book
Yeah,
and
I don't want you to
$3
put your number on the world wide web.
in Sydney, it's $3 for postage. I've posted it to Melbourne and to Perth as well. So if you want to, you have to pay for the postage as well. But it's only $8. $8 to save your marriage. That's $16 for two books. I've sold it to one person who only he only used it himself, and his wife didn't know that he was using it, and it saved their marriage. So it can help if one person is using, or if both, it's better if both people are using it together and they can work on it together. But if you have one stubborn person who doesn't want to use it and only the one person wants to, then by all means, $8.
That's a good, that's a really good sales pitch. $8 to save your marriage. It's a lot cheaper than counseling, lawyers' fees and all of that. So $8 to save your marriage. I can't believe how affordable and cheap that is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the intention that you've put into that book. That book has come from your life journey, from your pain, from your joy, from your lessons, from all the different things you've gone to. You've put that into a book, and you're gifting that to the community to give them hope and to give them tools and strategies to try to hold on to that important bond of the marital bond. SubhanAllah, may Allah reward you. So final question. What are any future plans or goals that you have, Rashika? Anything interesting coming up for you?
Future goals. Well, at the moment with COVID, my husband and I were meant to go to the Maldives last year, and that didn't happen. So, future goals, I'm taking it one step at a time. We were planning on going to move to Queensland. We were planning on buying a house in Queensland. If my husband had his way, we'd be living in the Cocos Keeling Islands.
The Cocos Islands, where my mum's from, yeah.
Yes. But we have to be realistic in our dreams and our thoughts as well. As long as my parents and his parents are not getting younger, and neither are my parents. Sydney is our home, so we'll take it one day at a time. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to look after our parents and yeah, look after our families and look after our health and do the best that we can.
I mean, JazakAllah khair, Rashika, for your time and for sharing all you shared so vulnerably, so openly, and so kindly sharing that with our audience. And alhamdulillah, we've had a solid number of people who stayed on listening, taking from all these wisdoms and
Alhamdulillah.
experiences. And I'm sure there's plenty of food for thought. And if we can just question our lives, question the quality of our lives, question the relationships that we have. Question how we can better show up, how we can better look after ourselves in order to show up better in those relationships around us. Then, inshallah, life would be, all the more, all the more better and high quality. So,
And also,
JazakAllah khair.
can I just say something else as well?
Cool.
And also having good friends in our lives as well. Good
Good
people that
friendship.
we can speak to as well, that we can turn to in times when things are not going okay. I'm not saying that everybody's life is a box of roses or, if things are going tough, have that special friend that you can just call and say, listen, meet me for breakfast.
That's always there, always important. Yeah,
Yeah, so it is
definitely.
important to have that special people in your life as well that you can turn to as well.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Good friendships and good company. Sister Iman Khadra said, thank you for this lovely discussion. You're amazing, Sister Rashika. Zikis Campbelltown has been tuning in, sending lots of love, mashallah. Everyone check out Zikis Campbelltown, and there's Zikis in Liverpool as well. It's a it's the NZF op shop, mashallah. So check it out,
My
everyone.
dearest, my dear friend Rihanna is at Ziki's in Campbelltown today. So
Mashallah.
send me lots of love, Rihanna.
Mashallah. So JazakAllah khair, everyone, for tuning in, and apologies for the technical glitches at the start of this Instagram live. Be sure to check out previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite podcast platforms. Subscribe and follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, the Deep Discussions podcast page. Get your set of Deep Discussions cards. If you don't yet have one, get your set of Rashika's Arabic flashcards. If you have children or someone who needs to learn the Arabic quickly, guaranteed to really help with your learning journey. So JazakAllah khair, everyone, for tuning in. Stay tuned for our next episode of the Deep Discussions podcast with Rosalind de Bono, who will be interviewing another revert from the community. And everyone's always excited, who's the next revert? Mashallah. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Take care, and JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum
Alaikum
warahmatullahi
salam. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.
wabarakatuh.